Okay. Good morning. We are up to Ayin Hey Amud Beis. We are up to where the Gemara says, Lema Kitanai. Let us suggest that this question is a Machlokes Tanayim. Right, the Gemara is dealing with the whole issue of Moda Beknas Potter, that if somebody admits to a fine, he is exempt. And the Gemara said that Rav said, Moda Beknas V'achar Kach Bo Edim Potter. If he admitted to the fine and then witnesses came, and the witnesses convict him of that which would obligate him to pay the fine, he's still exempt. And Rav Hamnuna made a distinction. He said it depends on the type of admission. An admission that he stole and therefore is exempt from kefel, that can create a lasting exemption, because that's an admission that it took some guts to do. He, by admitting that he stole, he has to pay the principal. So he created some liability. So then we say that which created liability also exempts him from the fine. And even if witnesses come later, he's still exempt from the fine. But if it's an admission that really is like a no-sweat-off-his-back admission, witnesses already came and said that he stole. And after the witnesses came and said that he stole, he says, oh, but I slaughtered. So by saying that he slaughtered, he's going to be fully exempt from the payment of three. The saying, I slaughtered, didn't convict himself in any way, didn't create any liability. So then maybe when he says, I slaughtered, that's fine, that we won't make him pay three. But if witnesses later come and say that he slaughtered, we say, well, the fact that he said that he slaughtered, that's not enough to create an exemption even after the witnesses showed up against him. So the Gemara now says, Lema Kitanai. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or about 9 lines down in the wider lines. Third word from the end. Lema Kitanai. Maybe this question, the issue, the view of Rav Hamnuna, is an argument of the Tanaim. We learned, Hayushnayim Eidin Shaganav. Two witnesses testified that he stole. Hayushnayim Eidim Oso Shatavachumachar. And two other witnesses testify that he slaughtered or sold that object that was stolen. Says the Mishnah, Hu's Mu'ed Digneva, if the witnesses about the theft have become Eidim Zomimim, namely other witnesses came and said that day that you claimed you saw the theft, you were with us. Somewhere else. So then we say, Eidusha batla miktsasa batla kula. Once the testimony is partially knocked out, namely the testimony of the theft is knocked out, so the testimony of the slaughter is also knocked out. So these witnesses who testified falsely about the theft, they have to pay double. So in such a case, if afterwards, who's mu'ede tvicha? What happens if the other case happened? The first two witnesses said there was theft. And they said there was theft. Then two witnesses come and say there was slaughter. And now witnesses come and make the witnesses of slaughter edim zomim. So umisham tishlume kefil. He still has to pay double because no one has disproven the witnesses of the theft. The hain and the witnesses about the slaughter, the shalom tashlume shlosha, they have to pay three times to the thief, because they are edim zomim. They were trying to make him have to pay five times, but he really didn't have to pay five times, so they have to pay the added three to him. The shum sumchus amru, in the name of sumchus, they said, hain, the witnesses, mishalom tashlume kefel, pay double. Vahu, and he the thief, Misham Tashlume Shlosh Lapar, three times for the cow, Ushnaim La'ayel, and two times for the ram. This is the Brice. Very difficult. What is the view of Sumchus? So the Gemara says, Ahaykai. What's Sumchus referring to? Ahaykai Sumchus. Which part of the Brice was Sumchus referring to? Ilei Ma'aresha, if he's referring to the first case of the Brice, where the first two witnesses say there was theft, and then two witnesses come and say there's slaughter. And the first two witnesses are the ones that are turned into Edom Zomim. So what is Sumcha saying? Those two witnesses pay kefel, but the thief pays three or four. I don't understand. Lastly, the Sumchas Eidus Shabbat Miksas Abat Lakula. Doesn't Sumchas accept that once we don't know that there was theft, we can't convict him for slaughter? Once we say that the theft story was made up, so he has to pay for slaughter? What's good? Once part of the testimony was knocked out, the whole edifice is false. Everybody knows that. Ela Seifa. So somehow Sumchas, when he says the thief pays three or four, and, I'm sorry, two or three, and the first witness is paid double, he must be arguing on that second case. What's the second case? The first set of witnesses say there was theft. The second set of witnesses say there was slaughter. And we have Edom Zomimim. We have proven that the second set of witnesses are Zomimim, that the slaughter was a falsehood. I understand. So, what do you mean? Why would Sumcha say that once the slaughter has been proven as a falsehood, the thief has to pay for the slaughter? Shabbi Kami Rabbanan. Rabbanan, their law is what made the most sense. If only the second group of witnesses were turned into Edom Zomim, so the thief still has to pay double. And the witnesses who are the Zomimim were falsely claiming that there was a slaughter have to pay for what they were trying to make the thief have to pay. They were trying to make him have to pay three times more. They have to pay it. That's the kasher zaman. So what is Sumchas talking about? Ellis, you have to say like this, that this Bryce is missing the most important part. The Chacham, we're talking about one case, then it has Sumchas. Sumchas is talking about a different case. And there's a whole argument between the Chacham and Sumchas, but it's not even mentioned what the case was. So we have to put the case in. So here's the case. All right, hold tight. Cases like this. Kigon da'asu beitrei amri le'ganavta. Two witnesses come, and they say to the thief, you stole. Okay. Amar lehu, he said, in. You're right, I stole. Okay, so he's admitting a little too late, because, well, we'll see, right? We'll see if he's in court or not, right? He says, yes, I stole. But he said, not only did I steal, let's say that the admission is too late because the witnesses already came that he stole. He said, Tavachtu macharti. You told me that I stole. Let me add, I volunteered that I slaughtered too. So now he admitted to the slaughter, so he shouldn't have to pay for the slaughter. Miu, however, lo bifneichem ganavti. While I stole, I didn't steal in front of you. You weren't my witnesses. You weren't there. Then va'aisi sahadi. Then he brought witnesses. Vazminu. And the witnesses that he brought turned those witnesses who started the whole thing rolling, who said that he stole, into Edom Zomim. They said, the day that you claim you saw Yaakov stealing, you're with us somewhere else. And they testified, the Loba Paihu Ganav. They also say that they didn't see the theft. Because the day of the theft, these witnesses were with them. They didn't see the theft. The IC Balabayas Sahadi. So now the one who it was stolen from him, he brought witnesses. Vasidu Bay, and they testified against the thief to Ganav, that the thief stole, Vitavach, and slaughtered, Umachar, or sold.
This is Sumchas's case.
Yes. So we've got three different sets of witnesses. They're the witnesses who came who said Yaakov stole. Yaakov says to them, you're right that I stole, but I also slaughtered. That you didn't talk about, but I also slaughtered. But I didn't steal in front of you. I stole in front of other people. And he goes, gets witnesses set number two. So yeah, these guys are liars, because the day that they claimed the theft, they were with us. And we didn't see it. We don't know about the theft. We were somewhere else also. And now the guy who it was stolen from him sends two other witnesses who say, we were there, we saw the theft, and we saw the slaughtering.
But he admitted in between.
He had admitted before the third set.
So how many times he has to pay?
Let's see.
How many witnesses can you bring?
Stay put.
That's right.
He wants to do it.
So now, Ubodas Tvicha Kamiflagi, the argument between the Rabbanan and Sumchis is, do we say that what he had admitted to, what he had volunteered new information to us that he slaughtered, is that considered an admission? Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan say, Afel Gavdo Da Digneva, Machmas Edim Hudukamodi. Rabbanan say that he admitted that he stole is meaningless because witnesses had already come and said that he had stolen. And so he admitted because he was worried about these witnesses. He thought they would be accepted. So he admitted. So that's already too late. That already has to pay for the principal, of course. He would always have to pay for the principal, but he has to pay for the double too. He has to pay for the kefil. That's not called moda beknas. He admitted to the fine. However, the Rabbanan say, Hoda ditvicha hodahi. He told us about the slaughter before there were witnesses about slaughter, before there was discussion about slaughter. So that is a straight-up admission. And that admission knocks him out from ever having to be responsible for the slaughter. Because he was moda beknas. He admitted to the fine. That makes him exempt. And therefore, upater, even though ultimately the third group of witnesses showed up, and that group said that they saw the slaughter, doesn't matter. He admitted. Since he admitted, he's exempt. And what do you see? That an admission created a lasting exemption, even though it was not an admission that created liability, unlike Rav Amnuna. It's not an admission that creates liability for him, right? It doesn't hurt him by saying, I slaughtered. It only helps him. But nevertheless, it created a lasting exemption even after witnesses, the third set of witnesses came.
What fine did the first set have to pay?
What's that?
The first set of witnesses have to pay.
Double, they lied.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that they all agree on.
Maybe. The Sumcha Savar. Sumcha said, but we're focusing right now on him. Sumcha said, Kevando da digneva machnas edem huda kamodi. Since he only admitted after the witnesses came in. Witnesses come in and they say that he stole. He said, no, I did steal, but not in front of you. But he's only afraid of them. That's why he admitted. So they, Sumcha says, that's not an admission, as you just said. It wasn't an admission. He has to pay the double. So Sumcha goes further. The Tficha also lavoda. He says the admitting about the slaughter is also not admitting. Why? Because admitting on the slaughter is just a net gain for the thief. When he says, I slaughtered, and therefore I don't have to pay the extra three, he's not creating any liability for him. So that's not considered an admission, like Rav Hamnuna. And therefore, when the later witnesses come, it's not a moda b'knas v'achakach bo edim with a lasting exemption. The later witnesses create an obligation. V'hanach edim kamoi dasmin hu. And these first witnesses who were turned into Edom Zomim, right? The witnesses, the first witnesses who said that he had stolen and they were turned into Edom Zomim, that they were liars. So this addresses Roger and Lloyd's question. Meshalmin Tashlume Kefa. They have to pay double because they were lying, trying to make him pay double. They didn't see it. But meanwhile, he also has to pay double because his admission is not an admission because he admitted because of fear. So the second set of witnesses, number three, who came and said that he had stolen, they convict him to pay double.
I don't understand. First of all, slaughter comes after the stealing, right? If he didn't steal them, he wouldn't slaughter them.
Right.
So, he slaughtered them, so that means he stole them.
Right.
Okay, this is... And also, he admitted
that a person can slaughter their own animal.
Yeah. All right, but he also admitted that he stole it, and he slaughtered it.
Right.
So what do you need the witnesses for?
Whenever a person admits, he doesn't have to pay a fine. Payments of fines, like double, and three or four...
The poor guy admitted here that he had,
but once he admits the admission... Admission exempts him from paying fines. He doesn't have to pay fines when he admits. But we're saying, was this considered an admission? So again, let's go back to Sumchas. Sumchas' case was like this. Sumchas was like this. The admission about the theft is not considered an admission because he's just worried about the witnesses who came. Therefore, the tvicha lavoda, he says also the admission about the slaughter is not an admission because that's not something that is convicting him in anything. So Hanach Edim Kamoid Azminu Susumcha says the first set of witnesses who've been turned into Edim Zomamim, Misham Tashlume Kefel, they have to pay double because they were falsely trying to make the thief pay double. They give it to the thief. The thief then turns around and gives it to the guy who he stole it from. And then Sumcha says, Vahu. And now the thief, Mishalem Shloshalapar, has to pay another three times for a cow. Ushnayim Lyle another two times for the sheep. Because his admission about slaughter was not an admission to create exemption. Because when you admit to the three or five, right, if you admit to the slaughter as a thief, it's just a benefit for the thief. It's not creating liability. Right? Remember Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna says, when do we say that admitting creates a lasting exemption? When it's an admission that has with it liability. But an admission that doesn't have with it liability doesn't create a lasting exemption. So here it was an admission without liability that he slaughtered. So he doesn't have to pay more when he says he slaughtered. He doesn't have to pay anything. So now when witnesses come, the third set, and said that he slaughtered, so there was no lasting exemption. So they make him pay the three times.
Rabbi, he brought witnesses, so it's kind of like...
No, he didn't bring the third group.
Oh, he didn't bring the third set.
So that was what the Gemara suggested, that the issue of Rav Hamnuna is a machlokes. Again, Rav Hamnuna says that this idea of Rav, that when you admit to something, you are exempt from the fine. And even if witnesses come later, you're exempt from the fine. It's only true when it's an admission that has with it liability. The Gemara is suggesting that's an argument between the Rabbanan and Sumchas. Amar Rav Acha, Rei Rav Ika, lo. That's not what's going on in the Braisa. First of all, the Braisa never said that this is the case. That there are three sets of witnesses. That's not what's going on. The Kuli Alma Odoh, the Tvichal Avodoi. Maybe everyone agrees to Rav Hamnuna that if a thief admits, after he was convicted of theft, he admitted to slaughter, so that's not considered a powerful admission. If witnesses would later come, he would have to pay. Because it doesn't create liability. It's not a powerful admission. Ella, right, everyone agrees, Odod v'chol avodai. Ella be'edu shi'at yachol azimakam iflagi. The argument here between Simchas and the Rabbanan is about something else entirely. It's about a different issue. When you have testimony that you don't have any fear on the witnesses, in other words, the witnesses can never be turned into Edom Zomamim. Is such testimony accepted? So the classic case is the Gemara in Makos. We ask the witnesses what happened. They tell us that Reuven killed Shimon. We say, when did it happen? So we don't remember. They don't remember when it happened. They don't remember the date. So then how can we disprove them? We can't have witnesses come and say, oh, you were with us that date over here, because we can't be mazim then. So that's test when it's not accepted. So what about here? We'll see. Kagon, what's the case? Da'asu sahadi, witnesses came. Va'amri le'ganavta, they said, you stole. Amaluhu, and the thief says, correct, ganavti, I stole. But you know what? Tavachti mocharti, I also slaughtered and I sold. So that's what he's volunteering. Me, or however, the thief says, Lo bifnechem ganavti, I didn't steal in front of you. Ela bifne ploni uploni, I stole in front of two other people. Vaisi sadi then brought witnesses, vazminu, and he made these witnesses into Edom Zomim, that they could not have seen it. Delo ba'apayu, but the second set of witnesses said that Delo ba'apayu ganav, that he could not have stolen in front of that first set. Va'asu ploni uploni. Now that other set of witnesses came. Va'asidu be, they testified. Deganav etavachu machar, that he slaughtered and stole. So it comes out that this thief admitted, right? He said, I didn't steal in front of you, I stole in front of them, and them taka come. Them actually came and said, he stole in front of us, and he slaughtered and or sold. So this is the argument. Rabbanan savri, the Rabbanan hold. Since that second group of witnesses, havile idu edush yata yachol hazima, that's testimony that you wouldn't be able to turn them into Edom Zomim. Because even if a third group would come and say that the second group were with them at the time, and they were all mazim, they were all liars, he himself is admitting that they were there. If it's a testimony that you can't ever turn into Edom Zomim, Lohavi Edos, it's not even a testimony. So that's why these witnesses are thrown out. So all you have is him. So all you have is him. He just has to pay the principal. That's the Ruv L'Chacham. The Sumchas Savar, the Sumchas holds, even though this group, group number two, is an Edush, Yatziyachal Azima, they're witnesses that could never be disproven because they have the guy himself admitting that they're right. Nevertheless, Havi Edush, they are testimony, they are witnesses. So therefore, they say that the first group were Edom Zomim. Okay, so that first group has to pay Kefel to the thief. Then the thief has to turn around and give that Kefel to the one he stole it from. The thief had volunteered that he had slaughtered. Okay, the second group is the group saying that he slaughtered, and they are witnesses. When he volunteers that he slaughtered, there's no sweat off his back. It's not creating liability. So the second group obligate him in the slaughter, and he now has to pay the added three. So that's what Sumcha says. The thief pays three, and the first witnesses paid the first two. They can't ever become Edom Zomim because I myself have already admitted that they're right. So I'm Armai. So we just learned. Apparently.
But they can't be disproven. Somebody can say,
so 1 second, the Gemara is going to challenge this. Says the Gemara, but Kaimalam, what do you mean? But we paskin. Everybody agrees that a testimony that can't be disproven is not testimony. So how could Sumchas argue with that? So Gemara says, no. Hani mili, according to Sumchas, when is there a rule of Edus Shehat Yochel Azima? Hechad lo yadi bezi yom bezi shah, delek leidus klal. If witnesses say, we saw an act, we just don't know what day, we don't know what hour, so then you can't create Hazama. Because no one can ever say that these guys were with them at the time, because we don't know what the time was. Avalacha seyudu mekamasayale. But here, the reason why it's an Edush Yatziyachal Azima is because the thief himself is agreeing with these witnesses. He brought them. He claimed that they're there to confirm what he said. So then, Sumchas says, okay, that's all the more reason that they're credible. So then you don't throw them out, according to Sumchas. Amar, we just learned. And according to Sumchas, in the case when the witnesses about the theft were made into Zomimim, hey, Mishama Tashlume Kefel, they have to pay the double, and he will have to pay for the Tvicha U Mechira. So Gemara asks, I understand. Mida Kamoda Ganav. The case that we've said is that the thief himself admitted to the theft. So if so, Karen Bai Shlumi, he has to pay the principal. Amr Balaz Mishmei de Rav. Balaz is the name of Rav. Tani, you have to read in the Braisa, they pay Tashlum Kefel, they pay that double payment, and the principal, he pays. What's that? Right, they pay what's over the principal. He paid the principal, because he admitted to that. They pay that second payment.
They don't pay twice, they pay what he paid.
They paid what he pays, right? And then, because his admission to the slaughter was not an admission that it convicted him in any way, so then that didn't create a lasting exemption. And since the witnesses said that there was a slaughter, he has to pay another three times for the slaughter.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but could it be between the owner of the sheep and the ganiv? Could they open up a corporation and catch schmucky witnesses? And,
I don't know. So the Mishnah said, ganav hektish. What happens if a person stole an animal and he made it hektish? V'yachar kach tavachu machar. And after it's hektish, he slaughtered it or sold it. He's exempt from dalad v'hei. Amri, so they said in the yeshiva, Bishma tzvicha lo machayiv, I understand why he doesn't have to pay for the slaughter. V'chi katavach, dektuk shkatavach. Because once he's slaughtering, it already belongs to hektish. V'lo demari katavach. He's not slaughtering that which belongs to the original owner. Ela hektish lichayiv. But the very fact that the thief made it kadosh should itself be a sale. Mali machle hedjut, mali machle shamayim. What's the difference between you sell something to a person or you sell something to God? When you transfer ownership, you're making the stolen object move further away from its original owner. You should be paying 4 or 5 times for it. Answer the Gemara, Hamani Rib Shimini. This Mishnah, this part of the Mishnah is following the view of Rib Shimon. The Amar Kachim Shechayev Achuyusan, who says that when it's a carbon which was a product of a neder, he said, on me is an obligation to bring this type of carbon. Then he separated an animal as that obligation. So he's responsible to replace it. So therefore, Birshusa Demare Kaima. It's still considered in the domain of the original owner. So what happened was that it was stolen from the original owner, the sheep, but it became part of a carbon that the original owner needs to replace, and therefore, it really never left his domain. So one second, I'm going to say for Rabbi Shimon Havi, the end of the Mishnah talks about Rabbi Shimon's ideas. Reisha lav Rabbi Shimon, that means at the beginning of the Mishnah, it's not Rabbi Shimon. Ella, so what's going on? Ach, my askina, what are we talking about? Bekadshim kalim. We're talking about over here that the thief made the animal holy. He made it into a karban shlamim. We know that there are different types of holiness. A karban ola and a karban asham and a karban chatas are called kadshei kadshim, the holiest of the holies. They are fully for God. The asham and the chatas, some of it is eaten by the kohen, but it's really God's. Whereas a karban shlamim, that is still the property of the original owner, because he gets to eat some of it. And Alibad Rabbi Yosef Aglili, this is according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Damar Kachim Kalim Amon Bailim Hu. Kachim Kalim still belong to their owners. Ubir Shusei Kaime. So therefore, it hasn't been really furthered away from the domain of the original owner, because it still belongs to the original owner. It's Kachim Kalim. One second. Avil Kachim Kachim Mai Misham Tashlumi Abar V'Chamisha. So if the thief were to have stolen the sheep, and then turned the sheep instead of into a shlamim, turned it into an asham. So then he would have to pay 4 or 5 times. So Adetani Reisha, instead of the Mishnah making a distinction like this in the beginning, Ganav et tavach v'achek hachikdish, if he stole and slaughtered and then made it kadosh, misham tashlumi arba v'chamisha, he has to pay 4 or 5 because by the time that he slaughtered it was still kulin, it became kadosh later. So, why is that the case? Talk about in this very case. When do we say that if he made it hekdesh, he doesn't have to pay 4 or 5 bekachim kalim? If the type of hakdash, the type of sanctity that he made, was to turn the animal into a shlamin, avu bekachim kachim, but if he turned the animal into an asham, then misham tushlum erba v'chamisha, he has to pay 4 or 5. Ela saliolam loshna kachim kachim, loshna kachim kalim. So there's no difference between kachim kachim and kachim kalim. Okay. So a stolen animal is an abomination, but as we didn't really deal with it, when a person steals and the original owner despairs, and then after despair he would make a kadosh, so since there would be despair plus a transfer of domain, it would belong fully to the hekdesh, then it would be accepted as a karban. It would be accepted as a karban.
But all of this against the Mishnah, I mean, you can accept Mishnah, say, you have a dish,
So the Gemara is going to try to figure out the Mishnah. So the Kashlach, now you have a problem. What's going on in the Mishnah? Why does the Mishnah say that if a guy steals and then he makes it kadosh, he doesn't have to pay 4 or 5? You asked, Mali Machor Lehejot, who cares whether he sold it to an individual? Mali Machor Leshamayim, he made it kadosh. He's moved it away, and he should have to pay 4 or 5. It should be a sale. So the answer is like this. If a person sells an ox to Reuven, sells it to Shimon, before he sold it, everybody called it the ox of Reuven that he stole. But now that he sold it to Shimon, everybody calls it the ox of Shimon. But if he stole Reuven's ox, now he makes Reuven's ox into a carbon. Initially it was called the ox of Reuven. It's still called the ox of Reuven. And since it's still called the ox of Reuven, it's called the ola of Reuven. That's not mechira to create obligation. Mechira to create obligation is that he moved it away from the one it was stolen from. Here, to some degree, it hasn't been moved further away from the one that he stole it from, because it's still called that it's the property of the one that he stole it from. Okay, next case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said like this. He said, when a thief stole an object, then made it kadosh, and then slaughtered it, Rabbi Shimon said he would have to pay 4 or 5. There is a case where he would have to pay 4 or 5. If it was kachim shuchayev bachriyusan, if it was a carbon that the original owner is responsible for. Amish, they said in the yeshiva, even if Reb Shimon were to hold that, who cares whether you sell it to a person or you sell it to Shamayim, either way, that's considered a sale. So then, Ibchami Boile, then it should be the opposite. If the stolen animal was turned into a carbon that the original owner is responsible for, Potter, the thief should be exempt. Because it hasn't left the domain of the original owner. But if he made it into a carbon that the original owner is not responsible for, and therefore the original owner has no claim in it, then he should be obligated. Because then it had left his domain. Amri, they answered in the yeshiva, Reb Shimon Amil Sachritokai. Reb Shimon is referring to something else. This is the way to read the Mishnah. Ein agonev achra ganav mishalem tashlum yarba v'chamisha. If somebody steals from a thief, he doesn't have to pay 4 or 5. V'chem gonev hektish mi beis balun potter. If somebody stole an object that's already kadosh from a house, he wouldn't have to pay 4 or 5. My time, why? V'guna mi beis ish. Hashem said if it will be stolen from the house of the owner. But when we beis hektish, not from the house of hektish. Rabbi Shimon says it depends what he stole from the man. If what the man had was hektish, chayiv bachriyusan, kachim shechayiv bachriyusan, a carbon that he needs to replace, chayiv, then the thief has to pay 4 or 5 for taking that. My time of why? Karina beva guna bebesa ish. Because since he has to replace it, he's considered an owner of it, and it was stolen from his house. Sheino chayiv bachriyusan. If it was a carbon that he doesn't need to replace, because it wasn't a carbon based on a neder, it was a carbon based on a nedava, potter, then he's exempt. Because then it's not considered that it was stolen from the house of the owner. Again, remember, point to Rabbi Shimon holds that if you have responsibility for something, you have to replace it, that means you partially own it. So if you made a neder, I'm going to bring a certain carbon, a shlamin. You separated an animal as that shlamin. So you need to replace that shlum if it gets lost. And now somebody stole it. They stole what was yours. Therefore, they need to pay you 4 or 5. But what you had done was not a ned. You made a nedava. He said, this animal is a shlumim. So if it gets lost, you don't need to replace it. Somebody steals it. You don't need to pay 4 or 5. He doesn't need to pay 4 or 5 because he didn't steal what was yours. He stole what was hekdesh. If he uses it, it's a mila. Yeah.
Right?
If he used it,
he didn't even know it was